Hello and welcome to Capital Ideas. This is where we sit down with members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives to give you an inside look at important aspects of how your citizen legislature works and who and what it's working for. Today we're introducing Representative Joan McBride. You'll learn a lot about her in this interview, so I'll skimp here on the bio other than to say Joan represents the 48th Legislative District, which sits across Lake Washington from Seattle. It includes parts of Bellevue, Kirkland, and Redmond, plus all of Medina, Hunts Point, Yarrow Point, and Clyde Hill. Joan lives in Kirkland, where she was mayor for 4 years and a council member for a decade before that. We'll talk about that and lots more in this interview, which was recorded on Monday, February 8th, 2016, and it starts right now. Thank you, Joan. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes today to talk with us.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
You're relatively new here. What's your story? There are 7 million people or so in the state of Washington, but less than 100 are in the state House of Representatives. How did it come that you're one of those people?
Well, I like to think that I came here honestly. I had 16 years on the Kirkland City Council, 10 years as deputy mayor, and my last two terms as mayor. And prior to that, I was actually on a community council, elected chair and vice chair there. But you know what? A lot of what brought me here actually has to do with the PTA. I was elected a co-chair of an elementary school PTA, and I found that if you can keep the parents of elementary school children happy, when, you know, everything that they care about is their children and there's so much happening at the elementary school level, if you can keep parents happy at that level, you could probably do just about anything, because it was probably the most political thing I've ever been involved in.
It sounds like it calls for a great deal of diplomacy as well.
It does, and it seems to be one of the skills I may have, because let me tell you, I can't cook, I don't sew, and I'm not great at cleaning house, but I do like having people sit around a table and see if we can come to solutions to common problems.
That's a skill that's very useful down here. As a former mayor of Kirkland and the prime sponsor of several bills that primarily affect local governments and their residents, which essentially means most of the people who live in this state, once you got here, you sought a seat on the local government committee. What's at the core of your focus on local government?
Well, a couple of things. You know, first, I have a lot of experience in local government. And one of the things that's happened, you know, over the years, through the recession, is that local governments have been losing some of their share of state funding. In addition, when you couple that with the federal government and it's kind of pulling back from certain grants and, you know, community development grants, you find that cities are a little bit in a rock and a hard place in order to build the funds to do important things such as infrastructure, affordable housing, transportation, talking about new schools. So those kinds of things are important to me. How to make sure that our local agencies have the funds available to do the things they need to do. And part of that is hoping that as a state, because of where we are financially, or because of where we are about how some folks feel about additional taxes at the state level, then how about, instead of just letting things go on and allowing cities and towns and counties to deteriorate, what about if we gave local options to our cities and towns? Give them the ability to raise the money they need after good and lengthy discussions with their citizens to be able to raise the funds they need for recognized issues within their jurisdiction. So that's something I care a lot about.
And this is some of the legislation you've worked on this year, is it not?
Yeah, I've had a couple of themes in legislation, primarily around affordable housing. And those were mainly local options. And by local options, I mean options that cities can choose or not choose to enact.
Affordable housing seems to be a problem that a lot of cities, particularly on the west side of the Cascades, are facing right now. other than local options, do you have anything that specifically has addressed the housing itself?
Well, I've done a few things. I've done one that is kind of a preservation bill for mobile home parks. Mobile home parks are an amazing thing. Now, they're becoming rarer and rarer. And what happens when a mobile home park is sold is typically the tenants who pay rent for that portion of land they are on are put in a very, very difficult, untenable situation. The bill really tries to deal with how to make sure if a mobile home park owner wants to sell a park that local housing authorities, jurisdictions, or housing nonprofits have an opportunity to purchase.
What's the status of that bill at this point?
It was just heard again in state government, and so we'll see if it makes it out. It has a little bit of controversy around it. I think it's a good, solid bill the way it is, but if it doesn't make it through, and this is a short session, we will see it again next year because it's the right thing to do to protect these very rare mobile home parks and bring them into public ownership so that the tenants aren't left out in the cold. Where they are forced to move suddenly, they have older mobile homes that cannot be moved. And you can't move a mobile home park after it's such an age because the foundation kind of is loosey-goosey and it can't be put onto a truck. So basically you have a mobile home park is sold, the tenants can't move their home, it's going to have to go to the junkyard, but they're still paying mortgages on the home. So imagine that.
So you could potentially have homeless people who are paying for a home.
Mm-hmm. You could definitely have that.
Good luck on that bill.
Thank you.
Let me change gears here. I know that you've also been active on an issue that has gotten a lot of attention here in the legislature, and that's open records.
Mm-hmm.
What is the legislature considering on open records at this point, and what has been your connection to that issue?
Well, let me start with what my connection is. So my connection is as a local elected official in the past, very recent past, where we saw a number of public records requests come in that were vexatious. They were huge. Some of them were retaliatory. Some of them were harassing. Now, when I say that, I'm only talking about 1% of the huge number of records requests any town, city, port, school district will get. So there's just a few that are really, really difficult. But those very difficult public records requests can slow down things for the other 99%. So the bill tries a very modest approach to managing public records requests. It basically does three things. First, it helps cities set up an idea of how to manage requests, how to budget, and also how to prioritize public requests. So if you have a public request come in that there is a public hearing tomorrow, that's a priority. Your citizen needs that immediately. So that needs to go up to the top of the list. If something comes in, we heard in public testimony in local government that there are some requests that have come in that will take 56 years in order to release all of the records.
That sounds like the kind that are just basically people messing with the city.
That's an issue. So the second thing after the managing portion, the second part of the bill would establish a public records commission in which when cities or local agencies and requesters disagree on, you know, how the public records are being held, they could go to this public records commission and find relief. And part of that even includes having a public interest attorney to represent the requesters. This is not meant to hurt requesters. It's not meant to make sure that the local agencies have a leg up. This is really meant to have a real dialogue about a problematic request. The third portion of the bill is, I think, wonderful. It establishes a very small grant program for smaller jurisdictions and local agencies so that they can upgrade their technology. because without a robust technology within your local agency, you're not going to be able to respond very well to these public requests. So I'm very excited about the bill. It turns out it's much more controversial than I thought it would be. But we have had many stakeholder meetings and actually that have lasted. We started it last summer. So I'm hopeful, but I understand that there are hurdles to the bill.
So it sounds like the default position of your bill and your personal philosophy is to err on the side of openness.
Oh, absolutely.
But basically just to take care of a few particular problems that cost the taxpayers quite a bit of money for no real point.
Yeah, so just here's a case in point, if you like. In local government, we had a big, huge public hearing on this, and three women came, and they represented the public records clerks for a county, I think City of Seattle or Tacoma, I can't remember what city. And another woman who was the public records. So within, I think it was 10 hours of their testimony, all three of their cities and the county that the one woman was representing got huge requests. And it was in retaliation for their testimony. Well, I was pretty shocked by that. It was hard for me to believe, but gosh, it was just a couple of days later that I got 9 requests that go all the way back to 2009, and each one was separate, and some of them dealt with people I've never heard of. So I'm somewhat immune as a state representative, but prior to coming here, I worked for the city of Kirkland. So now the city of Kirkland is going to have to go through all the emails, all the records, any electronic thing that my name appeared on, and they're going to have to start producing those records. So I'm not at the city of Kirkland anymore, but the Kirkland taxpayers are going to be paying for this harassing email that was, I believe, in retaliation for me running this bill. That's the problem. That gets in the way of ordinary citizens who really need information, and they need it quick. It inhibits the city's ability to respond as quickly. So that's what we're trying to address.
Good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I know you need to get to a committee hearing, so let me ask you at this point, anything else?
No, it's been a good session. This is my first short session, and it's a hectic time, and it's very exciting. I'm happy to have run a number of bills. I would say as a freshman, I wouldn't recommend running about 12 bills. I wouldn't recommend that as a good freshman sort of idea, way to approach your first short session. But it's been invigorating. It's amazing to be able to serve the people of the 48th District in this manner, to be running around and talking to people and trying to push forward the things that the citizens in my district think are important. It's an amazing privilege, and I'm very, very happy to be here.
Thank you, Joan. I appreciate you being here.
Okay.
That's it for today. If you feel like getting to know Representative Joan McBride was valuable, why not subscribe to this podcast now on iTunes or at housedemocrats.wa.gov. It's the easiest way to get a regular dose of Capital Ideas. After all, this is your state government. The more you know about how it works, the better it can work for you. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats. Thanks for listening.